Today's Teisho will be on Case 72 in the Book of Serenity, Zhongyi's Monkey. Introduction, a battle of wits across a river, hiding the army, concealing the troops. Face to face, they hold each other up, the spear of reality, the sword of truth. That is why patch-robed monks and nuns esteem the great function of the whole potential. From relaxation into urgency, try to spit it out in the open. Case. Yang Shan asked Zhongyi, what is the meaning of Buddha nature? Zhongyi said, I'll tell you a simile. It's like putting a monkey in a room with six windows. When someone outside calls it, Simeon, Simeon, the monkey then responds. In this way, when called through all six windows, it responds. Yang Shan said, what about when the monkey is asleep? Zhang Yi got right down from his seat, grabbed and held Yang Shan and said, Simeon, Simeon, you and I see each other. Verse. Freezing sleep in a snowy room, the year about ended. The recondite ivy gate does not open at night. Groves and forests withered in the cold. Look at the changing condition. The spring winds blowing stirs up the ashes in the pipe. For many of you here, this is your first morning of Sesshin. And I'm very glad that you're here. And I want to compliment you on doing such an excellent job this morning. Everybody was sitting very still. And I was very impressed, really impressed by everybody's commitment and determination. And so thank you very much for coming. And thank you for making such an excellent effort this morning. The Zendo was just, it was like an ocean of silence in a sea of busyness. Yeah? The birds are just crazy. Just crazy. And garbage trucks and whatever, traffic on the street. And in here was so still, very moving, very beautiful. So, thank you. And for some of you, this is day three of the Sesshin. And thank you also for making such an excellent effort. All of us are moving in the same direction. You know, I was recently reading that they have been studying human genes. And they have found, now they think they have found evidence that literally a million years ago or something like that. The human ancestor branched off from the chimp. And we branched off, but then we thought it over and we thought, you know, it's really fun being a chimp. So for a little while we went back and had little chimpettes with the chimps. And then we branched off again for good. We said goodbye to the chimps. Yeah. think that's a very interesting story. Possibly it might offend the dignity of some, the sense of dignity of some people, but I don't think there's anything offensive about it. I think it's fascinating. You know, it would be fun to be a monkey, I think. Some of you may have come from countries where there are monkeys. In India, there are apparently near in India and in Nepal, there are monkeys all over the place at some of the Buddhist sites. I guess at the Svayambhunath in Nepal, the monkeys are kind of a problem. If you put down your lunch, they'll steal your lunch and things like that. And you know, in Japan also they have monkeys. Yeah, they have a kind of monkey that will actually sit in hot water and take a hot bath. Isn't that interesting? People in Japan love to take a hot bath, and so do their monkeys. So, you know, it would be fun, I think, to be a monkey. I guess we diverged from monkeys a long time ago, and that's good and it's not so good, you know, because now we've become human beings. And when we go about our lives, we try to live a human life. And in fact, there's even a school of philosophy, which I like quite a bit, by the way, called humanism. So if we were monkeys, we could have a philosophy called monkeyism. Right? We'd talk about the dignity of monkeys and how important it is to be a monkey. But actually, monkeys would never do that, see. They would never create a school of philosophy called monkeyism. And they would never try to justify being a monkey, you know. And that's really one of the exciting things about being a monkey, in my opinion. When we come to Sesshin, one way to think about what we're trying to do is to have the best of both worlds. You know, we are human in a certain sense. We're human beings. And on the other hand, you know, when you're a human being, you really lose, you gain something and you lose something. You know, when you're a human being, you gain the opportunity to write War and Peace, for example. You know? And you get the opportunity to become a business major or a teacher or a professor, a scientist, yeah. And, you know, if you're an English professor, you're supposed to do certain things and you're not supposed to do other things. So, you know, really, very few English professors in my department wear a suit. You know, the old professors will wear a suit. And you could see who's just about to retire because when they come to work, they're wearing like a suit with a tie and everything. And the younger you are, the more informal you dress in my department. You know, when I got to my department, I dressed pretty informally, but lately I've been wondering if I shouldn't buy a suit, you know, to fit in. This is sort of the human way. We want to fit in, and we're always striving to be something. You know, I want to be a good professor. And this is wonderful. This is wonderful. And a really important element of a rich life is striving to be teacher, scientist, professor. It's really important. It's also important to be a person. You know, it's important to be you. Yeah. It's important to be Jim or Bob, and so on and so on. It's important to be man or woman. It's important to be young or old. These are all ways of experiencing the world, human ways of experiencing the world. And they're really great and wonderful, but so why are you here? Because I think there's something limiting about the human world too. And there's this idea that being a human is like creating a mask and then learning to wear the mask. And it's the glory of being a human, creating a mask and learning to wear the mask. And it creates all kinds of tensions, right? Because sometimes we create a mask that looks like somebody we admire. So maybe there's a teacher. If you're a teacher, there's somebody you had in class who was somebody you had as you were growing up, who was a teacher you admired, and maybe you became a teacher. You know, and that teacher used to wear a plaid shirt, so you think, well, maybe I should get a plaid shirt. And then somebody might say, well, plaid shirts are out. Nobody wears those anymore. So you say, well, I admire my teacher. Maybe he wore a plaid shirt, but now people tell me so it creates like tension, tension. I've noticed over the years that women's pants have been getting shorter and shorter. Have you noticed that? When I was a young man, women would wear what were called bell bottoms. Probably you know about those. And they used to have beautiful pants with patches on them. People used to actually buy jeans and put them in the washing machine so many times that they began to look old. And then they'd put patches on them, and they'd be beautiful patches. And women used to have long pants that would actually come right down to the ground. And often people's cuffs were frayed. And I've noticed as the decades go by, the pants are getting higher and higher and higher. So this is like a very human thing. At some point they'll get high up to like the knee, and then they'll have to come down again. This is like human. And it creates anxiety, right? Should I wear these pants to this place? Is this the right mask? And at some point we have the right clothes and we're wearing the right mask, and then we discover this is really not very satisfying after all. So I think that's why people come to sesshin. Believe it or not, it is important to be a human, but I think also the human way has limitations. When we come to sesshin, it's a chance for us to be a different kind of creature. We have a long prehistory. We've been humans for maybe 100,000 years, but we were other things before we were human, In fact, if you look at the development of the human in the womb, at one time we even have gills, We actually have gills for a little while, a week, maybe something like that. So we've been all kinds of things, and right now we're human. And I think when we come to sesshin, we experience we come to sesshin because we've experienced in some way the limits of being human. And it's great, it's a great adventure to be human, but there's something about it that's not always satisfactory. There's this element of stress or pressure all the time. Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Is this the way I should look? Is this the one person I should be? This is like to live in the human world is to constantly have these fears and anxieties, constantly thinking, well, in 3 years, what should I be? In 5 years, what will I do? And looking at the past with regret, right, and nostalgia. If only this, if only that. These are inevitably produced by the human way. Right? And so we're sitting in the Zendo, and the birds are out there, and they're just crazy. Right? They're just crazy. We don't have any monkeys, but if we had monkeys, it would be, you know, they'd fit right in around here. We had birds picking around in the dirt outside our window just a little while ago. And there's something about their participation in the universe which is a little different from ours. I really believe this. You know, I really think this is true. Years ago, we were building a temple in a place called Reyunza, which you could translate as a spirit cloud mountain. We had purchased some property outside of Seattle on a mountain that had no name, so we got to name it. And we built our temple, Tokuganji, on that place. And we would have summer sesshin up there. And it was a very good location because basically it was right next to a national forest land. So nobody could put a housing project next to our temple. And it was really quite wonderful. We had a little river running through the property, and that's where we got our water. There were bears, and there were, in that area, there were elk. And also, because it was state, national forest, people in the valley, it was up on a mountain, people in the valley were ranchers. That's the part of Washington that's heavily agricultural. And people in the valley were ranchers, and they were allowed by the National Forest Service to graze their cattle. This is quite common out in the West. Cattlemen are free to let their cattle graze on a national land. And then in the spring, I guess it is, they go up into the mountains and bring down all the cattle and brand them and so on. So we would be sitting in our temple. We built this temple with our own hands. You know, one of our members was an architect, and he drew up the plans. And we ordered the wood. Some of us stayed the whole summer out on the mountain. And we put up the zendo and the kitchen. And we would eat in the zendo, and we camped in our tents, as a matter of fact. And we would be sitting in the zendo, and at that time the zendo didn't have any windows. This was like summer sesshin. And we'd all be sitting in the zendo, and the cows would come up from the bottom of the hill, and you'd hear them moo, moo. And of course, we were all going in to see the Roshi in Dokusan, going moo. So, you know, the cows, we're all sitting there on the cushion going, and all of a sudden, moo. And we burst into life. I mean, it was so, it was a totally uncontrived moment, right? I mean, it's just like, wow. And we all burst into laughter, and Genki Roshi was laughing too, but he said, you know, the difference between your moo and the cow's moo is that the cow is unself-conscious about it. And that wasn't a put-down, it was just, it's the truth, right? It's a wonderful thing to be human, but it's limiting in certain ways. You know, the universe is bigger than the human world. And we can experience the world in a bigger way. And believe it or not, cows experience the world that way sometimes too. So it doesn't really require discriminating intellect. You know, Albert Einstein and a cow on a certain level can experience reality in a very rich way, which is not in particular a human way of experiencing things. And being a human, I don't want to put it down. It's why we're here, right, to be human. But you wouldn't be at the Zen, though, if you didn't realize there are certain limitations to being a human. at some point you just get tired of wearing the mask and the suit or the dress and trying to be part of the show. And you say, you know, there's got to be something more to life than this. Not that there's anything wrong with this, but there's got to be something more. And then you start doing zazen. And zazen is about what we would call finding what we would call original, or we say original nature. Well, before we became human, we were something else. Right? We had it then. Now, what was it? When you sit on the cushion, you know, it's not easy for humans to be natural. It's not easy for humans to be, you know, it's easy for a monkey to be natural, but it's not so easy for humans. Easy for cow, but not so easy for us. In fact, when we try to be natural, usually we're most contrived, right? I mean, so if you meet people, you know, what does it mean to be natural? Now, does that mean don't wash your face, don't shampoo? Or does it mean do whatever you want when you're hungry, eat? You know, just go to the fridge and eat. It's just being natural. You know, that, I mean, actually, quite contrived, really. Often when humans are trying to be spontaneous, they're most contrived. And, you know, when I was growing up, when I was a young man, since I'm on the subject of bell bottoms, nobody wanted to wear the clothing we had grown up with, which was like a Farah polyester slacks. When we were in high school, almost everybody wore like these polyester slacks that were sort of like dad's dress pants. And so when we were all 18, we decided, not polyester, please, cotton. Cotton's more natural. So we all wore cotton pants, and we had bell bottoms, and we decided it was artificial to cut your hair, so we let the hair grow. See, it's more natural. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, it's not really more natural to wear cotton than polyester, I think, although I like cotton. So you know, actually, we were very contrived. We were constantly trying to escape from our mask, but guess what? We were creating a whole new mask. And people can do this with Zen too. You know, you can become obsessed with being a Buddhist or being a Zen person. And basically this is just putting on another mask. It's a big problem. So when you come to Sesshin, we're really trying to be natural, but it's not so easy because we have a deep commitment to the mask and to the costumes we've worn. And so a lot of the Zen practice is just forgetting, you know, learning how to just be sort of like a dumb brute, believe it or not, like a brute. And you sit on the cushion, and you watch your breath, or you call Mo. And all the human things get in your way, right? This is day one of Sesshin. So for some of you, and as you're sitting on your cushion, you might be thinking of all the things you haven't done. You know, all the things you've left behind, the loose ends, right? Like, I've got all these, you know, when I get back, and worrying, and so on. And, you know, or you can be, maybe something bothering you, you know? You're sitting on the cushion and there's some problem you've got to work through. You feel like you've got to use the sesshin to think this through, to get this solved. Right? And yet, you know, the more you stay in that mindset, the more restless and frustrated you're likely to become. You know, if you came here to solve your problems, please give up on that aspiration. If you came here to improve your life, please forget about improving your life. You know, if you're here to, undo a bad deed, sometimes people come to Sesshin because they're doing penance. There's no possibility of doing penance. So give up on all of those aspirations and just be like a dumb brute. You know, this is so important. You know, this is like the dumb brute. Dumb brute. When you sit on the cushion at first, you have goals and aspirations, and you have images of how things are supposed to be. But on day one, since this is for many of you day one of Sesshin, you know, you're probably going to go through a period where you start to letting go of your human concerns. And you probably can't help it. If you try to sit on the cushion for long periods of time and you don't let them go, you're going to build up a lot of nervous energy. So let me say that if you're sitting on the cushion and you're thinking about your problems, you're going to get more and more tense. And actually, you can do yourself a lot of harm. And that's like a lot of harm by doing that. You know, the way to mental health, believe it or not, is not the human way. So give up for a little while on being human. You know, on doing your things that you have to do and being the person you have to be. And stop trying to choose and to decide, and just be a dumb brute, you know. And if you just practice Zazen long enough today and diligently enough, at some point it's just going to be important to get through the next sit, right? This is so perfect. See, I mean, those birds outside, they're not really trying to achieve anything. They're just trying to get the next meal. And you know, some things in the leaves there, and it might be edible. You know? So they're pecking around. It could be interesting, could be edible, you know. And then they forgot about it, and they moved on to the next thing. And we can think, you know, how stupid they are. But it's wonderful to be in the moment like that. We have a. You know, Grackle makes very few decisions with his discriminating mind. In fact, Grackles probably don't have a discriminating mind. But the truth is, you know, Grackles are very intelligent birds. The birds are actually quite intelligent, but not with discriminating intelligence. A monkey's also very intelligent, and they probably have some discriminating intellect. But the smartest part of a monkey isn't the part that has discriminating intellect. And I believe the smartest part of a human isn't the discriminating intellect. You know, so there's a bigger mind which is not your human mind. It's from long ago. We had it long before we became human. Yeah. And we want to become like dumb brute. This is wonderful opportunity to experience life in a bigger way. Like, you know, the human way is inherently separated. You know, so when we say yes or no, right or wrong, success or failure, we're constantly alienating ourselves from everything around us. And there's no way to think your way out of that. You can't think your way out of that situation. Most people come to Zen because they have a sense of separateness from the universe or separateness from things around them, isolation. And you can think and think and think, but the more you think, the sicker you get. Just you get sicker, not healthier. So this practice is about health. And health means that living like a dumb brute, actually. But not so dumb, as it turns out. Deeper intelligence. So, you know, if you practice Zazen today and you keep coming back to the breath, back to the to move, you know, at some point you're going to be in the moment more and more in an unreflecting way. Just in the moment. So, you know, you just call move. And whatever happens is the moment. You know, if there's a part of you that says, ah, that's not what I should be looking for, that's not, you know, that's not mu. I don't think that's mu. Am I calling it right? And so on. That's the human voice. Just ignore that voice. Just be like a dumb brute. You know, when you're calling mu, just see that, oh, did you hear that? Wow. And he didn't try. He didn't try. See, that is so good, isn't it? It's so hard for us to do that. You know, some people come into Dokusan and they're trying to call mu. In fact, if you try to call mu, before, you know, if you sit in the waiting here for Dokusan, you're sitting here thinking, now, how am I going to do it tonight? You know, last time it was loud, maybe I'll try soft. You know, it just makes, that's the human way. Yeah, listen to that. Now, where is, that's coming from, that's coming from our true self, you know. Boy, see, if we could call mu like that, you know. It's sometimes we can. You come into the Dokusan room and you think nothing. You just look at your blank mind and you just open your mouth and let it come out. See? And whatever comes out is okay. Whatever comes out is okay. You know, in our minds we have an image of what's supposed to happen. We come in and we're supposed to go moo, and the walls are supposed to, you know, shake. And I'm supposed to go, my God, that was fantastic. That's so hard, so human, isn't it? So, you know, just come in, call moo, make your mind blank, and call moo. Whatever happens, happens. See, it's that bird is doing it, just so naturally, so beautifully. Yeah, whatever happened, now, you know, after it's over, you might be tempted to say, that wasn't very good, right? And then we tend to blame ourselves, right? We tend to say, damn, I'm just not there. See, that's a really, that's still the human way of thinking. You know, that bird doesn't assess his call and say, that was a pretty good one. That one wasn't quite as good, he says. You know, but after a while, he wouldn't be able to say anything, right? Just, you know, it's like another way to think of it is like a surfer, right? You know, if you're a surfer, not that I've ever surfed, but from what I gather, you know, you sit and look at the waves, and they're coming in, and you think, okay, time to get on my board. You paddle out, trying to catch the right wave. And you see a wave that might turn out to be something. And you paddle out to that wave and you get up on your board and then you realize, that's not it. No, that's not it. So then you go to another wave. Well, it would be crazy for a surfer to blame himself if the wave didn't turn out to be the big wave, right? It's beyond your control. It's beyond your control. So all you have to do is make yourself accessible. So you come in, make your mind blank, and call mu. And whatever comes out of your mouth is okay. And don't judge it. Just keep going. And just keep calling. And, you know, every once in a while, we catch the wave. Every once in a while you catch the wave. It's like you feel, you know, like a kind of power or energy. Sometimes you're sitting on the cushion, it's early in the morning, and you feel so rotten. And then all of a sudden, you just hit this energy. And maybe energy isn't quite the right word. It's like being in it. You're in it. You feel this sense of being in something. That all of a sudden I'm in it. It's like I'm connected. I feel alive, you know. And at that moment, it's just wonderful. And there's nothing that you can do to make that happen except to wait and be receptive and be like dumb brute. It just comes. And it's like a wave coming off the ocean and you just catch the wave. See, this is the essence of Zen practice, I think. So, you know, those of you who are here today are just going to have to work very hard to be natural. You know, please don't waste your time in thought. You know, nothing can be accomplished, actually, by thinking about it here at this session. Nothing. None of your problems can be solved by thinking about them. And if you think about them here at this session, you will make yourself ill. Okay? So let them go. And all you have to do is be in the moment. Just back to the moment. Breath, breath, breath. Just like that bird. Just like that beautiful bird. Birds. Whole consciousness is just the call. You know, your whole consciousness at some point, oh, so beautiful, perfect. So you want to be like that bird, just like that. See, actually, you are that bird. So help me. So help me. I swear on everything I am and everything I believe in, you are that bird. Not when you're appreciating it with your discriminating mind, but when you experience it with your big mind, you are that bird. You can say, well, that's impossible, blah, 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 blah. Don't even think about it. Just be in the moment. The little mind is always separate. Big mind is all one mind, all one mind. And so help me. So your job is to be like that bird. Your job is to be, this started out as a monkey koan. It's a Zhang Yi's bird today, right? Same thing. Don't stop being human. You have 5 days now to stop being human. And when you go back to your human life, it will be enriched, because you'll be getting in touch with the other part of yourself, right? The deeper part of yourself, the part that has no birth and no death, and that was here before your parents were born, and that was even older than a million years old. Even before there were monkeys, this was here. Yangshan asked Zhong Yi, what is the meaning of Buddha nature? Zhong Yi said, I'll tell you with a simile. It's like putting a monkey in a room with 6 windows when someone outside calls, Simeon, Simeon. The monkey then responds. In this way, when called through all 6 windows, it responds. Yangshan said, what about when the monkey is asleep? Zhong Yi got right down from his seat, grabbed and held Yangshan and said, Simeon, Simeon, you and I see each other.